So I want us just for a moment to go to that mountain that Jesus directed the 11 disciples to go to remember that as they traveled to that mountain, they were one less than they had been, knowing that one had betrayed Jesus, was not in their midst. They all knew their own stories, who had denied, who had run away. So this group of men gather with Jesus. And when he arrives and they see him, they worship him. But it says this little odd phrase, but some doubted. Have you ever wondered what they doubted or why they doubted? If you remember, there was a time when Jesus sent his disciples out to heal the sick, to declare the message of salvation, to do the things that he had taught them. And when they came back, there was one time they came back and they were successful, but another time they came back and they weren't so successful and they couldn't figure out why. So now they're receiving this authority to go and make disciples. So can you imagine they must have doubted that they could do it? Doubted in their hearts, do I have the ability to do what Jesus did? And if I do what Jesus did, will I too be crucified? Is this really my calling? Should I have come up this mountain? Doubts creep into our lives as followers of Jesus when things don't happen or go along the path we expected them to. They certainly didn't expect him to be crucified. And they certainly, after he was crucified, never expected a resurrection. But all of that happened. So they're gathered there, excited that he's there worshiping him, but some are just a little bit doubtful. But then this is what Jesus says to the ones who weren't doubting and to the ones who were. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, only you who believe and aren't doubting, go. You doubters, you just kind of stay. I'm sorry, I'm pointing to the people sitting in that pew over there. But you doubters, you just stay there. The rest can go. He doesn't do that. He says, go. Go with your doubts. Go with your fears. Go with your faith. Just go and make disciples. Because I am with you always to the end of the age. If you do what I command, if you go, I will be with you when you go. And it's okay that in the midst of that journey, you have moments when you doubt. I won't leave you or forsake you in the middle of your doubt. But this is what he tells them to do. To make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say some nations. He says all nations. All nations is kind of code word for all the people. Make disciples out of everyone in the world so that they may love God and love their neighbor as I have taught you to love God and love your neighbor. He says to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that when we get baptized, we become part of the family of God. We get baptized into the community of believers. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't mean anything but being children of God. So as we're baptized into that, then we got to learn. I loved Morgan's beautiful story about teaching that she told the children. I went, oh, I don't have to preach. Because we're to teach others how to be disciples. And part of the way we do that is learning how to be better at being disciples. So what did Jesus teach us? Because he says, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. He doesn't say, teach them everything I have taught you. He says, teach them everything I have commanded you. So what did Jesus command us to do? Command the disciples to do? To love God and love neighbor. To love God, to love enemy. To love God, to love ourselves, to love God, to love one another. Jesus' greatest command to all of us was to love. To not be particular about who we could love and who not to love, but to love all. And I can tell you, sometimes loving a neighbor can be one of those hard things to do. Because maybe our neighbor plays loud music. Or maybe our neighbor decides that mowing the lawn at 6 o'clock in the morning is a good time to mow the lawn. And we just went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning because of our shift. And that lawnmower is keeping us up. You know, maybe our neighbor, I know Sarah has a neighbor that has dogs. And maybe those dogs make a lot of noise at all times of the day. And so how do we love neighbors that have barking dogs? How do we love neighbors that have wild, crazy parties? How do we love those neighbors we don't ever see because they hide in their house? Loving can be a hard thing to do. Loving our enemies can be even harder. And I was asked at Awakenings this morning, well, if we can't do that, how do I do it? I said, the only thing you can do is pray. And what you pray is, Lord, I cannot love this person. You know that's what your commandment is, for me to love them. I can't do it. If you want me to do it, Lord, you're going to have to work inside of me as hard as you can. And then the question was asked, well, how long will that take? Could take a lifetime to learn to love those that we don't really want to love. Have you ever had one of those people that you just don't want to love? I don't think I have. But there's some that I don't like. Ooh, I guess we even have to pray to love the ones we don't like. There's a lot of squirming going on in here this morning. But that's what he asks us to do. Not only are we to do it, but we're to teach others how to do it. How do you teach others how to love? It's a hard, hard thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's an easy, easy thing to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because the reality is God does it through us. God does it in us. If we just let go of trying to control all of that and allow God to love us into loving one another, that will happen. And we'll be transformed. And when we're transformed, our relationships with each other are transformed, and the world is transformed. It's a communal calling commissioned by Christ Jesus to go and make disciples so that we can be one body of Christ. Now, we might be a body that looks different and worships different and lives in different nations and different countries and different counties and different parts of the world, but we can be one body, bound together by the love of Christ. So this morning, I don't want to end with my own prayer. I want to end with one of Paul's prayers in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. And it goes like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.